If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
2 minutes after 4 a.m. here on The Fan in New York City, it is Tommy Lugauer. Lugie! After hours here on The Fan, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Game one, Knicks Sixers later on this evening. A couple things. Number one, and this has happened before, do we need a Knicks playoff game on Mother's Day? Can moms just have the day? Meaning, and their sons can have it. Now, I finally have the excuse, but I want to spend time with my mom, and she'll watch the game with me, but I finally have the excuse of, Mom, I have to watch this, so please leave me alone on Mother's Day as I enjoy a Knicks playoff game. But for years, as a producer, you could kind of use that as a reason, but if you have a smart mom, and I have a very smart mom, you could see right through that BS. You know, what am I got to make a show sheet? I don't have to know every little thing that happened in the game. Now, obviously, as a fan, I want to do that, but I'm also a fan of mothers and my mother in particular. And it is Mother's Day on Sunday. So you're welcome for all of you that have forgot, which is basically 95% of the people listening to my voice right now. You know you forgot. It's okay. You forgot. It's fine. It happens. That's why I'm many Tommies. I'm Tommy the Pothole Slayer. I'm Positive Tommy, Delusional Tommy, Tommy the Rationalizer, Tommy the Soft Man. When I get a little fat, you know, the face gets a little bit too round for my liking. You know, I have too much dessert. Tommy the Soft Man. Tommy the Family Man. Tommy the Fountain of Information, which is what I'm doing right now, is giving you information. And that information is that it's Mother's Day on Sunday. So, A, get your mom a card, bare minimum. And try to figure out a way to spend time with her and carve out some Nick playoff time, which is 3:30 start, which of course, right in the middle of, you know, perfect, right? Perfect meaning not perfect, because it could be played at 8 o'clock at night when mom will probably go to bed. But instead it's at the middle of the day, which is unfortunate. Look, it is what it is. You work around it, of course. And every day should really be Mother's Day. Mother's Day is it's a sort of a made up thing, but every day should really be for mom. And then daddy will get his Father's Day. I don't remember what date it is, but I'll let you know at some point when that is. Don't worry. And what's going on that day. But Mother's Day is the first. And Mother's Day is bigger than Father's Day, we all know. You get your father a tie or whatever, and you move on. Father's Day for most fathers is they could actually go to golf and not feel bad. You know what I mean? They can go to the golf course and not feel bad. Not feel like they're avoiding their family. But that's number one. Number two is the series starts in New York, but it shifts down to Philadelphia. And if you are a Knicks fan that is looking to go to Philadelphia, if you try to buy it through the Sixers, you're not going to be able to. Because if you're not a resident of the Philadelphia area, you're not going to be able to buy them. Because they are trying to keep Knicks fans out of the building. Now, obviously, secondary market, things of that nature will allow Knicks fans to invade that building. And I expect it to be a heavy dose of Knicks fans going down there. That building has basically become MSG South. Because it's either an easy drive, Amtrak, it's not a tough commute to get down to Philadelphia. And quite frankly, even on a secondary market, the tickets are a lot cheaper. Now, they're not cheap. They probably go for a couple $100. But when you consider the garden prices, even if you consider the tickets, the commute, all of that, you're probably paying less than you would for seats at the Garden. And I could say this from experience, when you go on the road, you go to an opposing building, and you win that game, it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. If I could bottle that feeling up and sell it, I'd be a billionaire. You wouldn't hear Loogie anymore. I'd be out of here. I'd be done. I'd retire. I wouldn't be one of these idiots that is a billionaire and works. I would be spending my billions somewhere. I wouldn't be doing a podcast, that's for sure. Like, I feel like Evan would win the lotto, have billions of dollars, and talk about Rico Bruno for 6 straight hours. I would not be doing that. I'm sorry. If you're a big fan of mine, then don't root for me to win the lottery. Because if I do, I'm out of here. But if I could bottle up that feeling and sell it, I would be a billionaire. Because it's an awesome feeling. And it's worth every penny. Now, if you lose, especially in a town like Philadelphia, not the easiest walk out of that building. It's a walk of shame. But you got to do it. I mean, you got to, and you're not going to be alone because there are going to be Knicks fans down there with you. But I did it in Boston last year, which, look, the Knicks are still up in the series. The Celtic fan was kind of like, we know we're going to lose this series, so they didn't really give me a lot of grief. But going all that way up to Boston, now I didn't have to necessarily pay for the seats because Evan took care of me, but I think I bought him chicken tenders or something, fries. I bought him a Coke. No, I don't know what the hell I bought him, but it doesn't matter. Guy's a millionaire. He could afford the tickets. Let's be real. But I do appreciate it. I thought we might run it back for one of these games, but it doesn't seem like it's going to work with the calendar. But yeah, if you can spend less money going out of Philadelphia, which is certainly, and you can get a room, it's all that, which we did last time we were down there. Me and Sean got a room, which was even better. They clinched the series, had a couple of brewskis, stayed up late night, went to bed. We were back here at work the next day, got Wawa, which is always great. Anytime I'm anywhere near a Wawa, I have to stop. Literally, I have to stop at Wawa. The idea that there are no Wawas in New York just drives me crazy. And I don't care if there's a Wawa upstate in Cahunksville. I don't care if there's some Wawa somewhere in upstate in Buffalo. That I'm talking about here, around this area. There are no Wawas. You know who I feel like would start a Wawa? Jerry. I feel like Jerry's always trying to be an entrepreneur. You know, I feel like I'm going to go talk to Jerry in a break here. Because he is a Jersey person. I assume he loves Wawa. And I feel like, I've heard this before, you can literally just open up a Wawa. You don't know there that you could. You literally just have to have, I guess, the money and the want to open up a Wawa, and you could just open up a Wawa. So Recco's got to get on that. Him and Al could put their funds together. They've both been in the business for a long time, and they should open a Wawa. There, I gave you 5 minutes on the morning show today, or the warm up show, I should say. Open up a Wawa, because I don't think there's any in New York, but I love them. Having gone to school in Pennsylvania, there was a Wawa right on campus or right across from campus. Anytime I'm in Jersey, I stop at Wawa. When we were in Philly, I stopped at Wawa. Not a Sheetz guy. That's another place down in Pennsylvania. Nah, not a really big Sheetz guy, but a Wawa. Never been to Buc-ee's. I feel like that's more Ohio, other areas. They're even further south, Fleeks. I've always heard Buc-ee's is amazing, but I've never seen one. I've only heard about it. Literally, in my life, I've never even driven past one. So clearly, they're in states that I've never been to in my entire life. But Wawa, all over it. So, Recco, Al, get on that, please. Start up a Wawa. Thank you. And make sure when you do this, CC me on it, any emails that you have. I just want to be aware. I just want to know what's going on. But yeah, anytime you can go down to an opponent's building or up to an opponent's building or whatever the case may be, it is a fun and it's exciting time. And if it ends in a W, you are cooking with gas. I mean, that is a great feeling. But yeah, the Sixers are trying to keep Knicks fans out. Joel Embiid is basically saying he'll Venmo Sixer fans some money if they need it. He doesn't want any of the Sixer fans to sell their tickets to the Knicks. I mean, this is the city of Philadelphia. This is the blue-collar, rough-and-tough city of Philadelphia where they have a star player begging their fans not to sell tickets. They have their team trying to keep... Like, it's one thing when the Detroit Pistons did it last year. And they did a great job of it, by the way. There weren't any Knicks fans in that building in Detroit. Not that I could hear. It was pretty much, I would say, because Knicks fans, even if there's only 2-3, you know, New Yorkers, they're loud. That's why when anybody always says, well, Lou Gehrig's loud on the radio. Well, what do we do? This is New York. It's not Paducah. I mean, what do you want me to be? Quiet? Aren't we all loud by nature? I try to tone it down a little bit on the overnights. I don't scream as much because I know people are either just waking up or they're going to bed. So it's different hours for that I think the screaming plays better or just talking louder. But I think people want me to whisper, like, hey, did you see what happened in the Knicks game? I did. Did you see what happened in the Met game? Yeah, it was great. Did you see the Yankee game? Yeah, it was awesome. Great. Stop yelling. Okay. Okay, great. Yeah, okay. Like, I'm not going to whisper. And doing 5 hours solo on an overnight, you could hear it in my voice. Gets a little hoarse. Speaking of horses, I did not go down to the Kentucky Derby, but I saw Jackson Dart was there looking all debonair with his girlfriend. The hats, though, throw me off. I don't know what the hell's going on with that stuff. But, and a one-man chalupa, not really my style. Not something I'd get involved with. I couldn't even tell you what's in it. I would assume mint, based on the title, but outside of that, I have no idea. Where was I? Yes. So, yeah, I mean, going down to Philadelphia definitely would be a big scene for you if you could swing it. And I would just go the secondary market. Yes. Oh, great shirt, Eddie. Star Wars. By the way, the first ever Star Wars movie, as you know, Eddie, was not originally called A New Hope. It was just originally called Star Wars. And then in time, it was now called, we know it as A New Hope. And I would say The Empire Strikes Back is not only the best movie in the franchise, one of the greatest movies of all time. That is the great Eddie. I'm going to get Eddie on, not today, because I got to think about some questions for him, but I would like to get him on for a couple minutes before he retires. A few more weeks of Eddie. You're going to be here, though, for the rest of the go here, Eddie, for the next couple weeks? No off days? He's looking at me. Might have a couple off days coming up.
Oh, he has plenty of off days.
Yeah, I know. He should just use all of them. That would be such a move. Use all those sick days. That'd be amazing. Imagine if Eddie just goes from now till when he retires, all sick days. He never shows up ever again. That's a way to go out.
He's been saving them for 40 years.
Exactly. They do roll over. My wife found out how many sick days I had the other day because we were going through some stuff with, I don't know, she just found out. She goes, you have that many sick days? I go, you have to understand about our business. You can't, it's frowned upon. Have you heard Boomer and Geo for the last 3 months? They both sound like they ate car batteries, the two of them. They both sound like they've been sick for 6 years. They sounded awful. No, they sound great, but you know what I mean? They just sounded sick. I don't know if they were both sick. I have no idea. But every time I've tuned in, I'm like, their voice sounded horrible. But you got to show up. This is a show-up kind of business. Eddie used to have a line here when he would go on vacation, and our former boss, Eric Spitz, he said, if you're going to call out sick when Eric is kind of running the show and I'm gone, you better be calling from the hospital bed. That's the only way you're going to get away with it. You better literally, we didn't have Zoom at the time, but we had whatever we had. He was like, you better be from the hospital bed. Otherwise, they're going to give you grief. Can't make it to work because it's snowing? Leave early. Grab a shovel. Take mass transit or whatever, transportation, or get a room in the city. Yeah. Cross the bridge. Didn't Minko do that with the Willie Loman briefcase one time? This poor guy, 60-something years old. They would have found him there on the street. Guy has like conditions too. I mean, this poor guy's walking across the bridge. But that's the mentality you have. That's the type of business we're in. You don't really want to take a sick day. Because you want to be here. You want to be here for the audience. Maybe the flu's going around. Feels like it's flu season. That could be possible. I have no idea. But where was I with all this? Oh, the sick hours. Yeah. So Eddie could take the sick hours. Yeah. But we've accrued so many sick hours through the years. It's amazing. It really is. Sorry, I was just scratching my ear. Not that you needed to know that. You're not really on a need-to-know basis there, but I just figured I'd tell you. What do you want me to do? It's hour five of a solo show. So if I'm going to scratch my ear, I'm going to tell you. That's the way it goes. Now I'm not going to scratch my ass. That's an Evan Roberts move. I really don't understand how he wasn't immediately thrown out of the building and barred from this building forever. And it's one thing that takes baths, and I love you, Evan, you know that. But, I mean, the scratching the ass thing has got to go. You just can't be doing that. I mean, you're standing next to Tiki Barber, who's basically a mannequin. And he's as well-dressed as anybody in the history of this radio station. Nobody has ever dressed better coming to work than Tiki. And Evan's over there sitting there scratching his hands. He's digging for gold or whatever he was doing. So I don't know if that's like necessarily something you need to be doing. But yeah, there we are. So we ran the gamut there. But yes, I would like to get Eddie on for a little bit in the next couple of weeks as he says goodbye to WFAN. And we say goodbye to Eddie. Eddie really responsible for so many careers here at the radio station. So for those of you that hate me, you have him to blame. For those of you that hate some of the other hosts on this radio station, basically a lot. Correct me if I'm wrong next time I see the people that I'm about to mention, but I believe he started the following people here on internships that are now currently on the air hosts. Myself, Giannotti, McMonagle, Marash. That's four guys. See Jerry too? Maybe Recco too? Jerry, blink twice. We'll come save you. I don't. I'll ask Jerry in the break. Maybe Recco as well. Wow. But definitely the four guys I just mentioned, for sure, and possibly Recco, and possibly Craig, and possibly Boomer. Possibly, but I'll ask Jerry in the break. That would be insane. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, no. You know what? That math adds up. I think he got Recco started in the business as well. So there you go. So if you want to blame anybody for the station, just blame Eddie. Don't blame anybody else. There's people like to blame everybody, but just go blame Eddie. He's leaving anyway. What does he care? It's not going to say he doesn't have the internet. You can say all the nasty things you want about Eddie on the internet. He'll never read it. The guy is, I don't even know if he has a cell phone. If he does, it's a flip phone. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We will get back to your calls. We'll mix the Mets into the conversation. We'll mix the Yankees into the conversation. I only got you for another 45 minutes or so. We got the warm-up show coming up at 5 o'clock. And from what I'm told, don't worry. It's only an hour. And most days it doesn't suck. I listen to it all the time now on my ride home. It's very funny. Very, very funny. I love the chemistry that Al and Jerry have. And Al is one of, and there's a phrase in wrestling. And we'll get back on track here, I promise. There's a phrase in wrestling, getting your bleeping. Al always gets his bleeping. Jerry could be sitting there going, and then I dodge death. And Al will go, yeah, so anyway, third story on my list. Love to get to that joke that I had written out for a day. You know, Al will always get his bleeping. Jerry could literally be like, and then I saved this old lady from a burning building. And then Al will be like, did you hear about Diana Rossini over the weekend, Jerry? It's just like Al will get his bleeping. It's so funny. And it makes me laugh. I'm like, I'm trying to drive home here. I'm trying not to pull over on the side of the road because I'm laughing so hard. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. Lugie in the late night. Tommy Lugar will get back to your calls in just one sec.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays, and now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
4:23 here on The Fan, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is after hours, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. So we talked a lot about the ticket situation. We talked a lot about Joel Embiid and some of the comments that he made about not wanting to sell the tickets to this being Sixer fans selling their tickets to Knicks fans. And we know that that building has basically become MSG, you know, South, because Knicks fans have taken it over many, many, many times. And obviously the Sixers are doing everything in their power to reverse that. Well, Embiid met the media, and he said something interesting here. Not just the fact that he will fund Sixer fans' money if they need it. I guess he'll get their Venmo accounts and he'll send them a couple of fajoules. And we know Joel Embiid is many things. But one thing he is not is a man that knows his geography. Here is Joel Embiid.
I just have a message for our fans. Last time we played the Knicks, it felt like this was Madison Square Garden East. So we're going to need the support. Don't sell your tickets. This is bigger than you. We need you guys. The atmosphere that we've had the last couple of games in Philly, especially the last one, pushing it to Game 7. I mean, we need all of it. I don't care if it's 70-30, it's Knicks fans. They travel, they're going to buy the tickets, and there's going to be, some people that need the money and probably going to sell tickets. Don't do it. We need you guys. We got a pretty good chance. We're going to need our support. We're going to need them to be extremely loud. If you need money, I got you.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Here's the problem. If Knicks fans head east, they're never going to get to Philadelphia because Philadelphia is south of here. It's not east. If they head east, they'll be in the ocean at that point. So it's not MSG East, Joel. It's MSG South.
And west.
Yeah. So you were so off. You had a couple different ways you could have went there, but east is incorrect. It is not MSG East. Philly is not east of here. It is not even close to being east of here. So if Knicks fans want to travel east, they will be traveling forever to get to Philadelphia because they will never make it because it is not, in fact, east of here. But yeah, the whole thing. Look, I went to college in PA. I know a lot of people from that area. I know people that still live in that area. Philly just has this air about them that they're this great sports town and their fans are rowdy and they're tough and they're this and they're champions, especially like some of their franchises that have got over the hump in the recent years, like the Eagles have. But boy, this happened last time the Knicks played them down there. They did everything in their power to save face and not have Knicks fans invade the building. And here we are, they're acting like they're some Midwest, mid-market team trying to keep Knicks fans out of the building. Quite frankly, the Sixers trying to keep Knicks fans out of the building is little brother behavior. Like, I thought Philly was this big, bad, tough sports town. And you have the team trying to keep Knicks fans out of the building. We don't want Knicks fans in the building, so if you're trying to buy tickets, you're just not going to be able to. You have Joel Embiid, who doesn't know his geography. He's calling it MSG East when Philadelphia is not east of here. It is south of here, so it's MSG South. You have Joel Embiid trying to tell Sixer fans, don't sell your tickets to Knicks fans. I'll Venmo you some money if you need some money. Please. The Knicks and their fans live rent-free in that city's head, in that team's head, in that fan base's head. I mean, this is a team that just fought back 3-1 down to the Celtics. They won a Game 7 in Boston. They have an opportunity to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they're doing everything in their power to keep Knicks fans out because their fans don't want to go to the game. They don't want to go to any of the games down there. Boy, little brother behavior, rent-free, and frankly embarrassing from a city that claims to be a great sports town. You're not a great sports town if you can't fill a building with all your fans and you're doing something that a team in the Midwest would do, which is trying to keep Knicks fans out of it. Well, here, I got some bad news for you. I believe that you're going to have to understand this and realize this as this series heads down, not east, but south of here. Knicks fans are going to invade the building. Whether it's the secondary market, Knicks fans will find a way. You could do everything in your power to keep them out. You will not succeed. Knicks fans are invading that building, which is now MSG South, which it's been for quite some time. The Knicks fans will be down in Philadelphia. They will invade that building. There's nothing, despite all your best efforts, there's nothing that Joel Embiid, there's nothing that the Sixers can do about it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Scott in Hamilton. He's on the fan. What's up, Scott?
What's up, Tommy? How you been, man?
Good, good. What's happening? You tell me.
Hey, man, I got a difference of opinion on this, but your thoughts on Wawa?
Yeah, you know what? Just to clarify something, too, I think I got something wrong here. So I wanted Jerry Recco and Al Dukes to open up a Wawa in New York because I love Wawa. Apparently, you can't do that. I thought anybody could just open up a Wawa. Apparently, you can't. We did a little due diligence in the newsroom. So I was wrong about that. I'll take the L on that. But it would be nice because I do love Wawa. Perhaps you don't, but I do.
Well, no, I grew up on it. I had one around the corner from my house. Tell me, it's not the same that it used to be when we were younger. Like, it's all processed food.
Yeah,
now.
But is that one of those things where, in my day, because I fall victim to that sometimes, is it just possible that just because it's something that you experienced when you were younger and now that you're a little bit older, you don't... Because I've had Wawa in my life since I was about 20, and now I'm 40, and I still love it as much as I did when I was 20. So for me, in the 20 years, it's still on the level that I appreciate it. Now, I also don't get it all the time, so it's one of those things where it's a novelty. It's like a special occasion whenever I'm in the area, whenever I'm in Jersey or PA or whatever the case may be. So maybe if I had it all the time, it would be different. I don't know. But I've been opining for it to be in New York for forever.
No, I get it. But Tommy, like when I grew up, I used to go there. They used to actually slice the meat over there. They used to make the sandwiches properly. And nowadays, it's just prepackaged meat that they get. This has ever been since they opened up the gas stations with Wawa.
So how long ago would you say that was? What was that, 5 years ago? 10 years ago?
No. I'd say, God, it's been around, I'd say at least 20 years, 25 years.
So then, there you go. So then, okay, so that's the only Wawa that I've ever known. So maybe I don't know the other Wawa.
But in PA, that's where it started.
Yeah.
It used to be a dairy company, and they turned into what they are now. It's just not the same. Maybe I'm just, because I grew up and, you know, had it when I thought it was much better. They used to get the bread from New York, not from wherever they get it now.
Yeah, I get it. I can't speak to what it was like more than 20 years ago. So that's where I thought you meant it was in that window, because I only first had Wawa when I was in college. So that was about 20 years ago. I can't speak to what it was 25, 30 years ago. I can't. So really, the only Wawa I know is the Wawa that you claim isn't the Wawa that it used to be. So I can only go off of what I've had. I can't go back. I can't get in a DeLorean and go back in time and have the Wawa. But I wish I could. I really wish I could just have some DeLorean right now and just, I probably wouldn't go back and get Wawa if I had the ability of time travel. I can be honest with you. As much as I love Wawa, there'd probably be a few other things on the list before that. But, you know, Wawa, I could just go to Jersey. I don't really need a 80s car to get it. But yeah, well, there you go. I didn't even realize it was around that long. But you can't just start your own. I thought you could. I thought you could. Because I was going to have Jerry and Al, you know, put their funds together and start one. Because I feel like Jerry's an entrepreneur. And Al wants to be a sports agent. So he's trying to branch out his career professionally. Not that that would help him professionally, but it would just be a way to branch out. It's a business. But yes, that's where we're at with that. As far as the Mets, good weekend overall. They should have swept, but taking 2 out of 3, you know, it's a good step in the right direction. Carson Benge had an incredible weekend, a wonderful catch in the 9th inning, which was really the second or third highlight reel catch that he's had this year. And he's starting to hit. He's starting to flash the leather. You could see the speed. You see all the parts of Carson Benge's game that make you excited about him as the prospect that he was and now the major league player that he is, and why he could be a key piece to this team, not only this year, but going forward. Like, I really love the progression that Carson Benge has shown over the last couple weeks. Clay Holmes, I mean, what more can you say about the guy? I was very high on the signing of Clay Holmes when he first came over. People want to bash David Stearns for basically everything. I get that. But one thing that you can't argue with in terms of something that he got right, that is Clay Holmes. Nobody else saw Holmes as a starter. Nobody. He felt like a guy that was going to be a failed reliever with the Yankees, ultimately, by the back end of his career there. And then maybe he'd go on to be a reliever somewhere else. But the Mets saw him as a starter. And in his first year, he was good, but he couldn't go deep in games. Now this year, he's not only been great, he's got under a 2, his ERA is under 2, but he's going deep in the games. He almost won 7 innings on Sunday. And now routinely, you're seeing 6 innings, 7 innings, and he is the ace of the staff. Clay Holmes is the ace of the Mets staff. And slowly but surely here, you're starting to see a rotation that you can get excited about. When Holmes is on the mound, it feels like a win. Like the team has every chance in the world. If they hit a little bit and they score 3 or 4 runs, they're going to win that game. Same thing with McClain. Same thing with Peralta. Christian Scott, I thought his stuff was electric the other night. He was great. I know he gave up a couple runs, but the strikeout stuff was there, and he's still working his way back from a major injury. The last guy now is Peterson, and the Mets are going to start an opener today. They don't know who, because it's not going to be Myers. He's not available, but he's going to get an opener. The game is earlier. The weather's horrible in Colorado, so that should kind of nullify the normal offensive explosions that you see in Coors Field. If Peterson can... Okay, maybe you think regaining the All-Star form is too much to ask for. It's positive, Tommy, flying too close to the sun on wings of pastrami, fine, but he could be better than what he's been this year and the second half of last year. And if not, the Mets are going to have to go in another direction in the rotation. Is that a Jonah Tong? Is that somewhere else? But overall, I think you got to be pretty excited about what this rotation can be for the rest of the season. Bullpen starting to turn it around. You get A.J. Minter back on this road trip, a guy that's been out forever. Like I said, Benge is heating up. You know what Soto brings to the table. Obviously, Vientos, the 2 home runs on Sunday. Bichette, look, he obviously hasn't lived up to the billing. He obviously hasn't lived up to the contract. This is one of the best all-around hitters in baseball. He's in the prime of his career. He's one of the best and most clutch hitters in baseball. Now, he hasn't been that this year. No other way around it. I expect him to be that. I expected him to be that and still expect him to be that. And I don't know what it is, but whenever the Mets seem to make a move like this where they spend a bunch of money on a player that has a proven track record, oftentimes it takes a little bit for that player to hit his stride, whether it's Piazza, whether it's Beltran, and this is trade or free agent, whether it's Piazza, whether it's Beltran, whether it's Lindor, Jason Bay never worked out, Mo Vaughn, Alomar, Bichette now, like it, for some reason, and not everybody pans out, but for some reason, these guys always seem to get off to a slow start. But I ultimately expect Bo Bichette to turn things around. He's just too good of a hitter. He's had some bad luck too, but it doesn't make up for the numbers, especially with runners in scoring position, that haven't been there, that need to be there, especially with Lindor out, especially with the lineup not scoring 6, 7, 8, 9 runs a game. When the Mets get those opportunities with runners on and you have Bichette and Soto coming up, you have to cash in on them. And it is obviously unrealistic to be like, well, they have to cash, but that's the position they're in. Until they get reinforcements back, until Lindor's back, until Luis Robert Jr.'s back, until Polanco's back, when they turn the lineup around to Bichette and Soto and there are guys on base, they have to cash in those spots. Have to. And they weren't able to do that on Saturday. That along with the Mendoza thing, with the challenging, but to be honest, somebody has to tell Mendoza to challenge that too. I'm not freeing Mendoza of blame there, but everybody wants to pile on Mendoza because it's open season against him and Stearns and the Mets in general, and I understand it. I understand Met fans, my fellow Met fans are pissed off, ticked off, upset, anxious about not only the present, but the future. I think it's more anger about the present, anxious about the future. And I don't think that what Tony DeComo said over the weekend put any of those fans that are feeling that way at rest when it came out that the organization is behind Mendoza, in full support of him, not going anywhere, and neither is Stearns. Which I've been telling you, though, for weeks and weeks, and I've prefaced it by saying, I am the bearer of bad news. I know nobody wants to hear it, but it's just how I feel. No inside information, it's just how I feel. Mendoza's not going anywhere. If they didn't fire him after a 12-game losing streak, if they didn't fire him after getting swept by the Rockies with an off day in between, if they didn't fire him off a losing homestand, they're not firing this guy. You could give me the record of the Phillies under Donnie Baseball all you want. You could send it to Steve Cohen's house. It doesn't matter. They are sticking with Mendoza. Yes, a interim manager can spark a team. They want Mendoza to spark the team. They want him to turn this around. They believe in the guys that they've hired. I also don't think they want to admit defeat, but they also want to stick with the plan. And Steve Cohen, who, look, I said this going into the weekend, I still think this should be the case. He needs to address Met fans. He needs to address his audience. He needs to address everybody. Doesn't have to be in a one-on-one interview, or he doesn't even have to come on. It would be great if he came on the radio, say our radio station, but he needs to at least send a tweet out. The last time we heard from him was the Green Shoots tweet where he channeled his inner positive Tommy. That was after a loss against the Dodgers. Just now, I know the message has gotten out there that Mendoza's safe, Stearns is safe, but still, there's a little something. And it doesn't have to be positive Tommy-esque. It could just be, hey, here's what's going on. Here's how I feel about the situation. This is where we're at. This is why we're... If he explained, hey, we like Mendoza. This is why Mendoza's staying. This is why Stearns is staying. Boom. At least everybody would have clarity. Now, a lot of the fans would be upset about it because you're not giving them what they want to hear. And this is what Steve Cohen has to balance. He has a vision. He has a plan. He hired Stearns, who came to the Mets highly thought of, not just by Steve Cohen. Like, this guy was well thought of around the league. He built the Brewers into a team that has been a sustained winner for a lot of years here, has won the division, I think, like 5 out of the last 6 years. I know they haven't won a championship, but they've been a winner. A franchise that year in and year out has gotten to the playoffs. And that's what Steve Cohen wants to build. And then if you keep doing that, you'll eventually... It's hard. The Yankees haven't done it forever, and they're the Yankees winning the World Series. It's not easy to do. But getting there year in and year out, getting to October, winning a lot of games, that is a tremendous place to be. And that's where Steve Cohen wants us to be. And that's why he hired this guy a couple years ago. And he's not going to pull the plug on it, nor are they going to fire Mendoza because that's Stearns' guy. You know, that's the guy that he hired. So you have to balance the, we have a plan, we have a vision, and we believe that the two guys that have been hired to do this will turn it around, versus we want to feed the angry mob. And I say that lovingly and glowingly, calling it the angry mob, because I understand the aggravation and the anger towards it. But by throwing the carcasses of Stearns and Mendoza to Met fans to chow down on. And I think his mindset is, well, they'll be happy, they'll be fed, they'll have a good meal, and then 3 days later, they'll say, okay, now what? Kai Correa is not winning games either. And then you would have gone away from your plan, your long-term plan, for the immediate satisfaction of your audience. It's a tough decision, but it's one that looks like he made, and that is he's going to stick to the plan. Now, one thing, thinking about it this way, because I was, you know, racking my brain about it over the weekend. One thing I could see the Mets doing, because I don't think David Stearns is going anywhere. The Mets have made it clear he's not going anywhere. I felt all along David Stearns is not going anywhere. Steve Cohen hired David Stearns a couple of years ago with a vision, with a plan to build a sustained long-term winner with the Mets. And I don't think Steve Cohen is going to back off of that in a couple of years. But one thing I could see the Mets doing in the offseason is hiring a GM, hiring somebody to work with David Stearns. Perhaps a Carlos Beltran, somebody like that. I don't see Stearns going anywhere. I think he's going to be a part of this organization. I know that frustrates and angers and disappoints a lot of people when they hear that, but that's just my feeling on it. But I could see Steve Cohen hiring a general manager, somebody to work with Stearns going forward, which might not be the ultimate answer for a lot of Met fans out there. They might not be happy about that, but you would put in the hands of somebody else all the power of the personnel going forward. And maybe it's somebody like Carlos Beltran, which would be extremely well received. So I could see that happening. I don't see Stearns getting fired. Definitely not during the season. I don't think at all after the season. He's going nowhere, Stearns is. But I could absolutely see this team hiring a general manager. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's after hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie here in the late night. We got another 15 minutes or so here on The Fan before we hand it off to the warm-up show coming up with Al and Jerry here on The Fan.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
4:48 here on The Fan, Tommy Lugauer. It is after hours, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to join The Fan Focus. It is presented by Chef IQ. Cooking easy as 1, 2, 3. Discover how at chefiq.com. We get another round, another chapter in the rivalry of New York and Philadelphia, which has been dominated recently by New York. And I'm looking forward to the Knicks continuing that dominance, much like they did a couple years ago against the Sixers, much like the Mets did a couple years ago against the Phillies. In the recent playoff matchups that have featured New York and Philly, New York has gotten the better of Philly, which is really where it should be. You know, when you think about Big Brother, it's New York. You think about Little Brother, it's Philly. So it's good that New York is flexing those muscles. And I expect them to flex them this series as well. And we know the Sixers are trying to keep Knicks fans out of the building and doing everything they can to sort of rally the fans and try to get full support at these games. But the reality is you could do all the measures and take all the measures you want. You're not going to keep the Knicks fan out of that building down there in MSG South, which is what we like to call it up here. I know Joel Embiid likes to call it MSG East because he doesn't know geography, but we up here know geography. We know it's MSG South. And it's going to be just electric. And I expect this series to be like it was a couple years ago, where it was incredible. It was awesome. It was one of the best series the Knicks have played as far as excitement. And that's due in large part because of it was a great series as far as the play on the court. And there were great games. Great finish, too, to the way that series ended. But also, obviously, the rivalry between New York and Philly. It's one of those rivalries that'll never go away. I love it. I just think embrace it, the fans, everybody. It's just, it's a lot of fun. But in recent times, New York has dominated. It's been a one-sided rivalry, and I expect that to continue in this series. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. But yeah, a couple things as far as the game itself and the series itself. Number one, the Sixers don't have a single answer for Jalen Brunson. Like, when you think back to a couple years ago, Brunson in that series was off the charts good. Like, incredible game after incredible game. His best performance as a Knick in any series in the playoffs, he was just Superman. And that's really where the legend of Brunson started to truly grow. Because it was Philly, because of the way he played in those games. He was awesome. And now, here we are, fast forward a couple years later, and I don't see anybody on this Sixer roster, which most of it is the same. Edgecombe is new, obviously, but most of the players coming back, like Oubre, guys like that, and that's probably the players that will be thrown at Jalen Brunson in this series. I just think JB's going to eat. Now, hopefully he doesn't eat too much, because we know when it's Brunson dribbling and everybody's staring at him, yeah, that might be great for one game where he gets 40 points, but overall, as far as sustained success, as far as winning this series and winning the next series and getting to the finals, all that stuff, it can't be Brunson dribbling, everybody staring at him. The Knicks are at their best when all five guys are contributing, all five guys are getting shots, they're distributing the ball. That's where the Knicks are at their best. And that's where they need to be in this series. Now, on the flip side, and Mike Brown did a great job of this, they have to hide Brunson defensively because Maxey or Edgecombe can really take advantage of the lack of defense that Jalen Brunson brings to the court. So much like they did where they adjusted against the Hawks, because CJ McCollum was dominating Brunson and taking him to school on a nightly basis, essentially, or a gamely basis, they, being Mike Brown, made the necessary adjustments to fix that, and McCollum was a non-factor in the last two games. Now, I don't expect that with Maxey because he's just so good, but you try not to have a 45-point game where he is, much like he did a couple years ago. I remember that one game at the Garden was just insane. And he's a great player, but you have to do your best to keep Brunson as far away from him as humanly possible on the defensive end. As far as Embiid, I expect Anunoby to lock him up a lot, much like Jalen Brown did in this series, Celtics and Sixers, the one we just saw in the first round. And you know the deal with Embiid. You know, he's a built-in villain going into the series. There's obviously a ton of bad blood. Him and Karl-Anthony Towns don't get along. I'm sure Mitchell Robinson and Joel Embiid don't send each other cards around the holidays. So there's a lot of hatred there. There's a lot of bad blood. There's a lot of carryover from. And this is cool, too, when you have, and this is a beauty of the Knicks being in the playoffs every year. You know, we've seen it with the Pacers. Now we're going to see it with the Sixers. When you play a team a couple of times in a five-year gap or whatever. Obviously, it wasn't a five-year gap, but you know what I mean. If they're like a five-year window, if you play a team two or three times in a playoff series, it adds to it each time because of the, especially that one that was exciting, chippy, the rivalry amongst New York and Philly, the fact that the Villanova guys, you know, Brunson and Mikal and Josh, so they're going back to kind of their roots. So there's a lot here. Cat, you know, being a guy in Jersey with rocking some Philly stuff, which did a little bit too much Philly stuff for the basketball team. I've been over this. I have to live with it, but it is what it is. I wish it was less Philly stuff. We gave away the only Met fan that was on the team, as far as I know. But there's so many storylines in this series. And there's just a lot of hatred there. So it will add to the intrigue. It will add to the theater that's going to exist. And as far as Cat, look, mentally, he has been super sharp. We got to see some of his acting chops with Anne Hathaway in The Devil Wears Prada 2. The trailer's out if you haven't seen it. But I think Karl Anthony Towns is playing some of his best basketball, especially the mental game, which is going to be challenged in this series. Embiid is the master of the human game of chess. He is the master of the head games, not only with opposing players, but officials. Whether one minute he's holding his knee, the next minute he's flopping, the next minute he's pulling somebody to the ground, the next minute he's kicking somebody in the family jewels, the next minute he's on the bench, the next minute he's hitting a jump shot that only he and very few others can hit. Like, he's obviously got a ton of skill as far as physically, although that is limited with the injury history, but where he truly excels is the mental game. He's going to try to drag Cat into the muck, and Cat's got to avoid that. Has to. Because I don't think Karl Anthony Towns can match that type of game with Embiid. It's just not Cat's strength. His strength is that he is a physical specimen. He's a talented shooter, especially for his size. That's where he needs to be. And just the rebounding, the defense that he's been showing lately as well, the ability to facilitate, pass the ball, that's where Cat is at his best, because there really isn't anything he can't do on a court. But where he can slip a little bit, and we haven't seen this in a while, is mentally. Loses focus, bad fouls, the low basketball IQ, a little bit of the pouting, the bad body language. Those are all the things that Embiid can drag out of you. And it could be advantage Sixer, if that's the case. And I know it's difficult, but you know what? Let Alvarado go fight Embiid. You know he's dying to do that. One of the reasons you bring Alvarado in here. I'd buy a ticket for that one, too. Mark my words, those two will get into it in this series. That is a lock. Because Embiid's going to pull his nonsense, and Alvarado's always ready to throw hands. Plus, what happened with Mitch last time these two teams played in the playoffs. But let a guy like Alvarado handle that. Because that's his game. Alvarado loves that stuff. That's part of what makes him tick. It's not what makes Karl Anthony Towns tick. And I know these two have gotten into it before on the court, Cat and Embiid, but there's just too much at stake here. There's just too much, and that's exactly what Embiid wants. He wants you to get off your game and to worry about him and flopping. I mean, Jaylen Brown's still crying about Embiid flopping. It's like, get over it. You lost, you've been eliminated, but Joel Embiid can get into your head, and he can live rent-free there. I know my fellow Knicks fans, he lives rent-free in their head, and I get it. But at the same time, like, he embraces that, I should say. He loves it. Loves it. So, yeah, and now it's one thing with the fans, who cares? But as far as the players, they can't allow themselves to play the mind games and the mental warfare that Embiid is going to try to do here, the human game of chess. Because the Knicks have an advantage in this series in terms of depth. I think they have an advantage in this series in terms of experience, talent. Like, the Knicks are going to win the series. But if they play down to Philly and they get in the muck and they play the nonsense games with Embiid, assuming he holds up for 7 games, which would be the way he walks around, it would probably be a minor miracle. But we'll see if it even goes that far. But you know what I mean? If it goes for whatever the full series is, whatever the length of the series is. But that's the one thing they have to avoid. And most importantly, Cat has to avoid it. So sick Alvarado on him. Let Alvarado deal with that. But Karl Anthony Towns should be focused on one thing and one thing only, and that is continuing the play that he has shown really ever since the deadline, where he has been awesome. I think it's the best brand of basketball we have seen in his Knick tenure. All right, that'll do it for me. My thanks to the listeners. My thanks to all the callers. My thanks to Fleegs. Alan Jerry, the warm-up show. That comes your way next. I will have you after Yankee baseball. That's later on this evening. We will have, obviously, Knicks, Sixers game one. We'll have the baseball to talk about. Yankees, remember, early start time for the Mets, 5:40. And you'll hear the Yankees pre the game, post here on The Fan. And then I will have you tomorrow after all of that here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.